Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb,
dumb, dumb, Welcome wow. to the show. We are the podcasters that you are listening to now.
This is the new theme song.
It's wow. not very good, Cody. But it could be better.
Did you record that at Muscle Shoals? Did you get a
yes.
Did you get a record deal? Because that's some music right yeah. there.
What's Muscle Shoals?
Muscle Shoals is where all the great artists record.
Is it spelled like muscles, like muscles? From Brussels,
yeah,
or like
no,
muscles
like
from the sea.
I think like from the sea. From
yeah,
the sea.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah,
where
yeah.
all the great albums are recorded, and
Badass.
It's where Cody's gonna go to record his new
yep.
album.
It was that or Frankie Sharp from Sharp Records
to introduce but. A podcast by.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst year ever.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's,
I couldn't
really
agree
is.
More. I could not agree more.
Apparently, there's also a podcast, but that's not what I'm really talking about.
No, it's the year. The never-ending
year.
2 years of our lives.
Yeah.
Down
the long
drain.
Long year, they call it.
Have you ever, you guys heard of the concept of, I think it was Eternal September?
No.
Eternal summer? Endless summer?
No, Eternal September. So way back in the day, in the early days of the internet, right? Pretty much the only way you'd have access to the internet is if you were at a college or some sort of other institution, because like everything was connected together in the ARPANET. Like normal people didn't just get on the internet. You had to get into it through
oh,
an institution.
Sure.
And so every summer, like in September, I think it was, all of the, you know, classes would start and all mm-hmm. of the new people would get access to the internet for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was known by all of the people on the internet as like the worst month. Like September was always the shit month because all these new people get on the internet. They have to learn the rules. They have to learn like all of the different behavioral mores. And they're just like insufferable for like a month or two, like until they get acclimated to the culture.
Yeah, you got to lurk for a while.
And then I forget the exact year it happened, but sometime in the early 90s, like the internet became a thing anyone could be on, and September never ended is kind of the idea. It's like that's when the internet was this beautiful utopia for a while, and then Eternal September came, and it's been shit ever
Eternal
since.
Eternal September sounds like a pop punk band.
Yeah, it does.
One hit.
Or a Counting Crows song.
I'm feeling now like,
I was thinking like Yellow Card, but yeah,
we're
no,
just,
Counting Crows works.
We're still in Eternal March. Like
yeah.
March didn't end last year and it hasn't ended yet. And it's just forever.
Boy, I
like
sure
all
feel
months
that.
Are the same. All months are this like fascinating mix of collapse and right wing anger and government crackdowns on people pushing for justice. All these things are just always happening now, constantly. And I guess they were before, but whatever. It feels
just
maybe
feels
it's just
longer.
The news.
It's June
and
now.
Somehow,
didn't feel like it was June suddenly.
It doesn't yeah. feel like there's breaks anymore. Like
no.
I'm thinking about, I don't know. We used to have fun. I think in the news.
I thought
cycles.
So. I remember
yeah.
that,
mm-hmm.
or at least our attitude was a bit more fun.
Yeah,
we try to have fun, but it's harder. It's harder to come by.
Yeah, I remember times that were different than this.
I remember times, and yet I do not recognize time as a concept anymore.
No, it's a flat circle, as
yep,
the guy on the
sure
TV
is.
Show that had
as
a single good
as the next governor of
said,
Texas will,
yeah.
has said.
God willing.
Yeah.
God willing.
One day.
Look,
one day.
I don't know about his politics, but I loved that performance.
He cannot be worse than Greg Abbott. He
I don't
can't
think
be worse
so.
Than Greg Abbott.
And I enjoy hearing him speak. It makes
yeah.
me laugh. He tells a sleep story on my Calm app.
Oh, good.
I just love it. Mostly because I giggle. Hi, I'm Matthew
yeah.
McConaughey. All right. And you're like, you're doing it. You're doing it to lull me to sleep. Okay, Governor.
Wait, does he actually do that?
No, he does.
On the sleep
he
card?
Says,
good for
hi,
him.
I'm Matthew McConaughey. When I was working on a movie called Proof, I don't know if it was Proof. Something
I don't
else.
This is so funny. Can
but
we
it's
just do
funny.
Katie's
he
McConaughey
goes,
imitation the whole episode?
And he goes, "The world is our playground." You know, like he's just doing
I
it.
Bet,
anyway,
I bet
check
it
out.
Is for Matthew McConaughey. I bet it is a playground for Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
yeah.
Um, It but really does help me go to sleep, though.
But he's running, or it hasn't been announced.
No. It's just a thing people talk about.
And then they ask him about it when they talk to him, and he's like, I don't know, maybe.
This is us having fun with the news at this point.
I want to see him do all his ads in the Lincoln.
I hate to say this, but I kind of think Texas is so fucked that the only thing that might save us is if a person who's famous enough to like break out of the kind of right-wing domination gets elected and just isn't a complete sociopath. Because I don't think Matthew McConaughey is. I don't think Matthew McConaughey is like a literal monster. Greg Abbott is a monster, and so have been every Texas governor since... Ann Richards. That was the one. She was.
Yes,
like,
I was
from,
going to say that.
Yeah, 91 to 95,
and then the name.
She made some decisions on gun control that turned out to not be wise electorally, and George W. Bush became the governor, or at least that was how the asshole in my concealed handgun class explained it. I don't remember any of that because I was living in Oklahoma.
I like to picture McConaughey in a Lincoln doing the Wolf of Wall Street, the boom, boom, boom chest thing.
Yes.
As his only campaign.
And then saying he approves of the message?
Yeah.
That's it. And then I want him to go, he goes, and this message is all right.
Yeah, I get
That's it. That's the whole thing. And then
I get older, but the message is the same age, right?
Yeah.
We can just use clips from his biggest hits.
Yes, and then he wins.
Like Dallas Buyers Club, you know, or what else?
Yeah,
the Sony one.
Republicans would be like, "Hey, Governor, would you please sign the execution orders for this mentally handicapped man?" And he would just crush a Lone Star on his face, and they would be like, "We'll come back later," and then no one would get executed.
I think he also does Carl Jr.'s spots. He's got a thriving commercial career.
He does. He's better in ads for bourbon because, like, Matthew McConaughey has. There's a number of different kinds of Texas accents. He has a classy accent. Yeah. As opposed to what most people in Texas have. And he sounds good talking about bourbon, even though he's talking about wild turkey, which is...
Yeah, it's soothing. Yeah. His accent goes down smooth.
It goes down smooth, unlike wild turkey.
There you go.
Get some Eagle Rare, goddammit. But okay, like...
We've been talking about this for 9 minutes.
I'm okay with it. I want you to do your imitation again. I thought it was great.
All right.
I'm the true detective.
Have you guys seen the guy running in California for the recall with the bear?
The Beast?
That's the worst thing I've... Yeah, John Cox, who's the... He already ran.
He already ran and lost.
Oh, good for him. Well, I love that for him.
That ad is the worst thing and possibly the best thing I've ever seen.
Pretty sure he's coming under legal action for bringing a bear to a campaign
event. Mm-hmm.
But it's been a fuzzy month, so I don't know.
Wow.
Just a real quick disclaimer. I guess not quite up top because we're 10 minutes deep here. Give or take with editing. I, as you know, have been gone for a while. And I am back in Los Angeles, and I've had a hard month. And so this week, I'm not prepared, but we're going to kind of try to catch me up on the news.
Yeah, it's a hodgepodge to bring Katie up to speed.
It's a potpourri.
And I did nothing to prepare except show up, and that's how I like it.
Well, speaking of Texas, why don't we talk about the voting in Texas?
Yeah. What happened there? Are they allowed to do it or no?
Everyone's still allowed to vote.
Cool.
As you do know,
for a little while,
there have been all these sort of bills popping up to make it more difficult for folks to vote.
Sure.
Under the guise of being like, actually, it's we're putting fail safes, so what happened in 2020 doesn't happen again. As if insinuating that the entire election was a fraud and Donald Trump is actually the one that was elected. It's interesting how they're sort of intertwined. Like the January 6th is sort of just like a symptom. It's like it gave them a pass to be like, see, we need to protect our election, but in a way that insinuates that it was a complete fraud and Joe Biden isn't actually the president. And so there was another bill that Texas tried to pass that had various things in it. It gave penalties like jail time for sending people mail-in ballots if they did not request them.
Who would get penalized, jail-timed?
The people who sent them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is like, again, it's like this sort of weird, it's framed as like, well, you don't want people doing this, it'll do frauds and stuff. Instead of like, if you really want to make it, you know, access to voting open up for people, just send mail-in voting to everybody. Yep. Instead of like, well, if you request it, then you get it. And if you don't, then you're going to jail. Well, no, just give it to everybody. Give everybody the all these options.
It's pretty frustrating.
A bit.
The whole situation is pretty frustrating. I think I've mentioned this on a show over the past month. But it's a real big deal how many people truly believe that there was widespread voter fraud mm-hmm. in the election. And the amount of money being wasted on recounting it over and over and over again. The belief is very pervasive that dead mm-hmm. people voted.
Uh-huh. Yes, dead people voted.
And, you know, I push back and say, well, you know, I just mean in Arizona. It's like, and wonderful, reasonable people, you know, smart people. But they're like, no, actually, this is a true thing that has to get a problem. There's a problem. And if there's nothing wrong, then what's the problem with looking into it? And I gently say, well, I think it's the expense at this point.
Well, if you do look into it, you'll see that like countless cases were thrown out because there was no evidence of fraud. Yep. And like this bill would have and it still might pass. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they like, will. The Republicans are going to continue trying to force it through.
But a part of it is that you don't actually have to prove that there was any like you don't have to confirm any evidence of actual election fraud in this mm-hmm, case. Mm-hmm. It also banned drive-through voting, things of that nature.
Sorry, drive-through voting. I haven't heard of that, but I'm into it. I went through a drive-through liquor store in Arizona. Never seen one before, but
really? Oh yeah, we had them.
Yeah, we have those in Texas too. Yeah. Yeah, they're not as good as California liquor stores, which are literally any store you happen to be in. Mm-hmm.
You can go in anywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah, the other thing they're trying to do is stop ban voting on Sundays, a lot of black churches will do like voting drives and stuff.
So well, God's against voting.
You should be able to vote on a day that isn't like. Most people work on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or make it a holiday.
But the goal is very clearly to stop voting.
Yeah, it's
for people who aren't white and Republican.
It's very clear. It's very frustrating. Folks like a Dan Crenshaw type who outwardly seems very reasonable when he speaks, but he's just a liar. He lies a lot. It's very frustrating to hear him speak.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, they're trying. Notice they won't tell you what's in the bill, and he won't either. What's in the bill, Dan? Tell us what's in the bill. And yeah, it's very transparent what they're trying to do. It limits availability to vote for a lot of people. Low income areas, handicapped people, a lot of just very clear. They tried to pass it. The Democrats walked out during the vote. Which good for them. They did a
Very
thing.
Good for
they
them.
Did a thing Great that they can do. They did a thing that like Republicans might do.
Yeah, the Republicans have been doing in Oregon for
a
while now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that they've done before in Texas, I should note. They fled to Oklahoma years back for another vote. So this is not the only time Texas Democrats have done something like this.
Yeah. The Lone Star, the Lone Star Democrats.
All right.
They walked out. There weren't enough members to reach a quorum, and so they couldn't pass it. Mm-hmm. Again, very cool. They will still probably pass it.
Of course, it'll still happen.
But it's just it was at least nice to see a move being played. Even though,
make it harder for the fuckers. Just make it harder for them.
Yeah. Make it harder for them.
Yeah. Because they,
I really do respect standing up and it's one thing for Democrats in other states, blah blah blah. But in a state like that, in other conservative areas, you gotta put on a little bit of a show and make a stink about it, even if it's not gonna move the needle in the end.
Show that you're doing literally anything. It's nice.
That's a signal for everybody else in the state that doesn't necessarily agree with the conservative side. I just keep relating things back to Arizona because that's the only thing I have experience for.
that's your world now.
Every week on a corner in downtown Flagstaff, there was a small but mighty group of people protesting another move, something. Voting rights, Christmas cinema, a filibuster, and they're just out there with their signs, like 15 to 20 people, and it's crickets from around, except for every time I drove by, I just laid on my horn because I feel like this is important here. And it is important because that slowly changes things. Anyway, again, here I am not having read the news, relating it back to my limited experiences of the past month.
That's how it's going to be. That's the hodgepodge.
That's the theme of the show.
That's the podge of the hodge.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling bleaker about the hope for change than I have for a while. And I guess because we're going through, last year we had the big uprising. And now that Biden's in charge, we're watching him kind of... His administration and the feds under him slowly and kind of methodically take it apart and penalize people. They've just started doing, some nasty federal arrests of people in Portland of activists. And like today, while people were waiting for those folks to get out of the jail, the cops just went and raided both jailed support and a nearby homeless encampment. It's just Biden's going to continue to give them more money. These things that everyone recognized, these agencies that were problematic and had too much power, and everyone kind of was able to see it when Trump was in office. Now that Biden's in office, they're just going to be given more money.
Oh, for sure.
That's what his promise was when this was happening and he was still running.
I mean, that's what happened with the Capitol Police.
And
you see a lot of that. There's like a bit of an uptick in crime over the last year. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. And it's being framed as this like big sort of like, oh, my God, the crime is up. See, defunding the police didn't work, as if like that happened.
As if we've done that.
But it's not
just crime. It's like murder rates.
Violent crime.
It's happened as well. It's increased just as much, if not more, in areas that increased police funding.
Yep. Exactly.
Which was more common than cutting it last year.
But it's just a really quick way to point to now's not the time to be having these conversations, it's backwards thinking.
And there's a huge dip towards the end of the 90s because there was a huge, like, crime was like very, 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 very high in the 90s. There's a huge dip, and this little uptick that we're seeing is being framed as this terrible, scary, scary thing. If you go back 20 years instead of 10, it's not so bad. So you can just see, like, okay, this didn't work, so we need to, like, give them more money, and we're going to do better training. That'll do it.
Yes, training has been the problem.
As if you don't see...
case
we'll talk about later today where they say, no, they did their training and it was good. It was good. And actually, spoilers, it was bad. The training was bad.
What case is this?
I guess
we'll talk about it.
I mean, I can tell... This might be the case you were talking about, but it was the cop in Minneapolis who shot the guy by reaching for her gun instead of her taser. She had just received additional training on how to use her taser, like, weeks before she murdered the guy. Yeah.
I remember that case, but I don't
remember
that.
And she was the head of the union and, like, a 20-year veteran and stuff. Like, she
this is the most recent case?
It's not the most recent case.
No, but it happened this year. A month or two ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, she had just received training.
It was like 4 or 5 weeks before she had just gotten more training in how to fucking tase people, and she still accidentally pulled a gun and killed somebody.
It didn't do the job, did it?
Because the training isn't the problem. The problem is that it's a job that rewards you for being a violent psychopath, so violent psychopaths love to do it. And the training just gives them excuses to say, well, I was just doing what I was trained to do when they murder people. Anyway. I don't.
I mean, yeah. That wasn't what I was talking about, but it's a good example of it. And yeah.
Wild that
it
there's
wasn't,
multiple examples.
Another good example of why it's a problem that I wasn't thinking of the same thing.
Yeah.
This happened in Tacoma, Washington.
Oh, I love Tacoma. Great
yeah,
town.
Manuel Ellis was killed by police on March 3rd, and the officers have been charged. The three officers involved. So that's a thing. See how that turns out. But it's very. I'm hoping there's more video of it because according to witnesses and like other, there are various videos involved. A doorbell camera and bystanders and things. Before reading this, I just want to say this is a pretty upsetting graphic description of the events. So if you're sensitive to that, skip a minute or so ahead. But he was having allegedly a polite, a calm conversation with cops. He was at a 7-Eleven and went up to their car and it seemed fine. He walked away and then the cops opened the door and just started just taking him down. According to witnesses, Officer Burbank swung open the passenger door, hitting Mr. Ellis from behind and knocking him to his knees. Officer Burbank then got on top of Mr. Ellis, prosecutors said. Bystander videos, a doorbell camera with audio and video, and dispatch radio traffic captured what happened next. Officer Burbank wrapped his arms around Mr. Ellis, lifted him into the air, and drove him down onto the pavement, hitting him with one of his fists, prosecutors say. Officer Collins then moved toward Mr. Ellis and brought his weight down on him. With Mr. Ellis underneath him, Officer Collins, a 215-pound SWAT team member and Army veteran trained in martial arts, began hitting Mr. Ellis's head with his fist. Officer Collins can be seen on one video hitting Mr. Ellis's head four times as Mr. Ellis screamed. "Hey, stop," one bystander screamed. "Oh my God, stop hitting him, stop hitting him, just arrest him." Officer Collins then wrapped his arm around the front of Mr. Ellis's neck and locked his hands together while squeezing, applying a lateral vascular neck restraint. Mr. Ellis was not fighting back, prosecutors said. Three witnesses said they never saw Mr. Ellis hit the officers. He wasn't even defending himself, one said. Officer Burbank fired a taser at Mr. Ellis as Officer Collins continued to squeeze his neck. "Hey, y'all in the wrong right now," another witness said. After Mr. Ellis was jolted for 5 seconds, Officer Collins released his grip on Mr. Ellis's neck and Mr. Ellis's head fell limply toward the pavement. Officer Collins then pushed his arm onto the back of Mr. Ellis's head or neck, pressing his face into the pavement. As Mr. Ellis began to scream and writhe, the officers held his arms behind his back and pressed down on his body. According to a recording captured by a Vivint doorbell camera on a house across the street, Mr. Ellis said clearly, "Can't breathe, sir, can't breathe." Less than 15 seconds later, he can again be heard pleading with the officers, saying, "Either breathe, sir, or please, sir." Officer Rankin later recalled, according to prosecutors, hearing Mr. Ellis say in a very calm, normal voice that he could not breathe and responding that, "If you're talking to me, you can breathe just fine. Have heard that many times before." An officer put a spit hood on Mr. Ellis's head while he was hogtied on his stomach, and while Officer Rankin was applying pressure to his back, the brand of spit hood includes instructions that specifically state that it should not be used on anyone having difficulty breathing. Prosecutors said Mr. Ellis remained under Officer Rankin, hogtied and face down for 6 to 9 minutes until the fire department arrived. Mr. Ellis's last known words were the same ones he had repeated throughout the attack: "Can't breathe." He was declared dead at the scene. Cool. So that's the description of what happened from prosecutors and various witnesses and video. And I'm going to follow this up by reading this statement from the police union. Tacoma Police Union. "We are disappointed that facts were ignored in favor of what appears to be a politically motivated witch hunt. We look forward to trial. An unbiased jury will find that the officers broke no laws and, in fact, acted in accordance with the law, their training, and Tacoma Police Department policies. An unbiased jury will not allow these fine public servants to be sacrificed at the altar of public sentiment." So classic statement from a police union. Maybe if that is the training, it's bad training.
Yep.
Maybe it's bad. I don't know. That's in the news. Yep. Katie, welcome back.
Welcome back, Katie.
Welcome back, Katie. A sitcom coming to Nick at Night.
A sitcom
sometime in the
where
future.
Three friends sit down and read graphic reports of police murders.
I gotta say, I did feel a little bit. I could feel my chest constricting and okay, this has ventured into the dark territory again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We'll get a little lighter again.
This is the news. That's what we do here. But first, we're gonna take a little break.
Yeah,
that'd be good. That'd be good.
Have a product or three to clear your soul.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back.
Welcome
My God,
back.
You know, I was feeling pretty blackpilled before those ads. Sometimes all we need in a horrible world is to be reminded that products and services exist still. Yeah.
Now, which one is so? Red pill, black pill. Are they?
Is one
antidote to the other?
No, the black pill is just when you realize there's no hope.
That's the hospice pill.
Yeah, that's the hospice. That's like emotional hospice.
Dark jokes like that, but it's my mental state.
That's
it's
how you
what
deal.
I know.
That's how,
Again, that's how you deal with it.
Bring it back. Cool. Mm-hmm. What else do we got?
I don't know. Cody and I got to talk about aliens for a while.
I know.
That
I haven't
nice. I
listened to
that
yet.
Actually.
I should have listened to it on my drive home.
That's
it
was okay. Fun. I've never listened to a podcast.
I wanted to. I was actually pretty jealous. I rightfully bowed out last week, whenever it was. And then I found out you were talking about aliens, and I was like, God damn it.
What do you got to say about aliens?
Yeah. What's your alien take?
Are you yay or nay?
I'm very pro aliens.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Traitor.
Mm. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Take me away. Take me away from here, aliens. Yeah.
To space. God, that would be so nice.
I'm just very curious. And I saw peripherally some story online that I didn't have the bandwidth to dig into about, you know, people, the Navy or Air Force, whomever, saying like, yeah, we've been seeing all these sightings for years. And I was like, what is this? What'd you guys come up with? Are they right there?
Yes, but not in the
maybe
way that...
But what people are talking about now is nonsense.
Probably not.
So the
they're out there. They're in the oceans of Europa.
I
now,
also
waiting for us to discover.
Listen
their fishy
to
bodies.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on audiobook on the way out and back.
Oh, that's delightful.
Oh, that's a good thing to listen to while thinking about death.
Sure.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, there's lots of things. I'm like, well, this is very clearly written by a white man with a certain ideology of the world. There's not a lot of the jokes are fun, but you're like, there may be more surfacey than I remember it being. Mm. You know, I kind of remember it being a bit more,
a little more biting.
Yeah. But it was,
well,
it was
gets,
fun.
It gets later in the series, like Restaurant at the End of the Universe is probably the best.
I
book
need
in
to
the
go
series.
To the next one. Yeah. But I did love, that there is a character, Veet Buttigieg or something. And he's like a little dorky guy that I laughed.
Douglas Adams desperately tried to warn us.
It was right there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he talks about this a lot, how once he was backpacking and looked up at the stars and then had a series of seizures and visions of a rat-faced man running transportation.
And there was.
States.
And that's how Veet Buttigieg came
and
into
that's
into
exactly
being.
Right. That's exactly right. He tried to warn us.
Valuable prophet.
So you guys don't have to catch me up on your alien episode, but I will go back and listen to it this week.
Mm-hmm. You know who else tried to warn us about Pete Buttigieg?
Who?
I believe it was the Book of Ezekiel. When he wrote that thing about four horsemen coming in and hell riding with them, you know, from Tombstone. It's in Tombstone too.
It's in
that
Tombstone.
That part. Mm-hmm. That's about Pete Buttigieg too. Hell rides with him.
Veet Buttigieg was about a guy, this guy that is obsessed with knowing where all the ballpoint pens go.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like our rat boy.
Oh, buddy.
Who else but rat boy? Oh. Man. You know what I was doing recently to try to deal with everything? I just started like watching old YouTube videos of, what was his name? The guy who played Lionel Hutz. Phil Hartman. I just started watching Phil Hartman skits from the 90s.
He's wonderful.
Oh, man. Real soothing. Real soothing.
Mm-hmm. Powerhouse.
That brought me like an hour of complete happiness. That skit where he's Bill Clinton at the McDonald's and he's just stealing everybody's food.
Talking about warlords and yeah, eating burgers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Burgers. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, he's real good. They were developing a live action Troy McClure movie. Mm-hmm.
Jesus
Christ. When he died?
Death. Yeah,
what an
death,
amazing
yeah.
thing that would have been.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Yeah.
Didn't he die violently?
Yeah, yes, his wife murdered his wife him. It's we don't need to go into that as much.
I'm sorry. I just keep bringing it back to
one,
a dark
one of
spot.
One of the best skits in SNL history was one he did with Chris Farley, where Chris Farley's a motivational speaker and keeps telling kids about living in a van down by the river. And it's a perfect skit.
Originally written by Bob Odenkirk of Mr. Show.
Really?
Yeah.
Fame. Yeah.
I didn't know it was written by Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, he wrote it.
It definitely feels like Bob. Yeah.
He wrote it in either Groundlings or Second City. I forget which one.
Yeah.
And he wrote it and he was like, well, I can't do this. This is for Chris.
Yeah.
And he gave it to Chris.
Yeah. And it's a perfect skit as long as you don't think too much about what happened to both of the actors in it very soon after filming.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
If only Chris Farley was still living in a van. Down by the river. Yeah.
You know what's some good news, though?
Yeah. What's that?
Something, surely. Right?
Maybe.
Trying to dig us out of this depression hole.
I'm trying to get us out of that van.
My brain. There's got to be good news.
God. Yeah.
There's some, yeah. Well, okay.
Hit us with the good news, Cody. Give it to us.
So the... So vaccination rates are ticking up.
That's great news.
Among kids are getting vaccinated.
Good for them.
That's a large part of why they're ticking upward. I think another part of it is because states are offering money to people.
Yeah, the bribing really was.
And one thing actually that is I think encouraging is that there was this bit of an uptick after the CDC basically said, like, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask if you've been vaccinated. Like,
yeah,
the point of being vaccinated is that, like, it's safer now. And I think making that very clear to people made people more willing to go out and, like, okay, well, if it can get back to normal, then I'll go get the vaccine. So that's good.
Yeah,
although,
absolutely.
I'm going to pepper in a little darker point is that something like 48% of people are hesitant to get the vaccine because they're worried that they can't get a day off if they have side effects.
That's ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, that's the situation.
That. Yes.
A lot of people are worried that it actually costs something, even though it is free.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I keep reading like little bits like that. I'm like, we're never going to learn anything from this pandemic. It is highlighting so many things, and we're just going to let the lessons wash over us.
Yeah, instead of doing anything about it.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because, and Sylvia had mentioned this, maybe we talk about post-vaccination life and have a conversation because it's been tricky and weird. Like, I was worried. I drove to Flagstaff the day that I was fully vaccinated. And it was a strange culture shock for me. Not that people don't wear masks because they do, but it's much more like whatever. Inside people mostly wear masks, but it's not really. But I very quickly lost my need to have it with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt very guilty whenever I found myself like, oh, shit. And then I'd have to remind myself, wait, you're vaccinated. It's OK. But it is weird. It does feel like continuing to wear your mask is a little bit disheartening. It could be disheartening for people. What's the point if it's still going to be the same? But it is tricky, and I think that people have a lot of reactions and things that come up at this point in letting go of this behavior. And I don't know. I am curious. Yeah. I just got back last night. I was very curious of what it's going to be like now that I'm in LA.
LA's mask mandate ends the 15th, I believe. And like,
so we still have a mask mandate.
Right now, we still have a mask mandate.
I'll come back to LA when that ends.
Yeah, I'm no longer in LA proper, so it's hard to sort of gauge, going outside.
Oh, yeah? Pasadena doesn't count as LA area?
No, oh, it absolutely does not. No. No.
I just assumed that a order like that would reach, but yeah.
So we have like stores that have come out ahead of time being like, yes, we're not going to require it. Yes, we are. We're still going to require it. I know that there's been a lot of things with like companies asking employees to like show their vaccine card. And if they don't, then they still have to wear a mask, which is a very slippery slope, I feel.
Well, at least they aren't saying you can't work here.
No.
But it is a slippery slope. You're right.
Yeah.
It's hard and frustrating to communicate with people who, and to how to approach this delicate issue.
Yeah, that it's a delicate issue is frustrating because it's a really minor thing to ask.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal in the sense that it was necessary, right? You can make an argument that like, I think all of the rules mandating outdoor mask wearing were fucking outrageous and stupid from the beginning because the science has backed it up that like, no, that was never necessary. It never helped. Maybe if you're talking about like a concert or shit, but people don't need to be wearing masks when they're really fucking jogging outside. Right. That's just stupid.
It's like crowds is the issue.
And it feeds the fucking bullshit. It feeds people being like, this is an unreasonable burden and shit.
Right.
It just sucks. But that
shutting down the beaches.
Shutting down beaches, like all the things that are actually most healthy for people to do, like which is, you know, be outside and not going to a goddamn bar or something. Anyway,
right, and socialize outside.
I do understand that at the beginning we did not know everything, but we had a pretty good idea. And those beaches and different outdoor closures, parks, trails stayed that way for a long time, much longer than needed. It's one thing to like, you know, assess the situation, but anyway, you guys get it. It's been frustrating. It's been hard. Yeah. And it does fuel the division. It does fuel the animosity and the miscommunication and the lack of clarity that people have about it.
Yeah, I just hate it.
I've seen a lot of discourse about, you know, if companies are requiring medical history about this, that it might lead to, like, I've seen people being like, well, what other medical history of mine am I going to have to show my employer? So I've seen a lot of discourse about that with people being unsure.
There's some valid questions to ask about some of that stuff, about the idea of, like, a vaccine passport to go to basic places and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Other countries, it's like, well, we do that already. But like, if it's like, if you can't go to McDonald's without, having.
Well, I guess we're not going to be seeing that, though. If we were, we would be seeing it already.
No, I don't think we are.
Israel, I know.
It's also like a lot of these companies are not requiring it of their customers. So,
right.
But they are requiring it of their employees. And so if we're going on the honor system for people we haven't vetted and hired, et cetera, but we're requiring it of people that we know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mind you, I am vaccinated. I just want to I'm just showing like what I've seen.
amazing headline from the AV Club over the weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
Fully vaccinated people and also just liars can now go mask free at theaters.
Yep.
Yes.
I think this is very funny.
Amazing.
Yes.
Well, this was a frustrating thing.
In Flagstaff,
when Kathy was still in the hospital, they had strict rules about visitation, but we could go in. I couldn't leave her room and re-enter it, but you could go in. But then they said, like, only one or two visitors a day, but not at the same time. Although at first it was fine. We could go, three of us would go in and visit, and then on 5 days later, they changed it, so only one at a time. And you have to check in and get permission to go up. But they never once asked if you're vaccinated. There was no asking or checking. It didn't matter if you were vaccinated or not. And I thought that was interesting to have these strict rules that were very difficult because when someone's at the stage in their life, they deteriorate much quicker if they don't have people around that they love and can talk to. And so it's frustrating. And I feel for them, I guess there's also a situation of like, what can they do? But it just was wild that the COVID rules did not include being vaccinated in the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, my grandma's in assisted living, and like they do the temperature check, they do the have you traveled, yeah. You have to wash your hands when you get there, and wear a mask, but it's never vaccine question.
But that's all more
asked.
Than what the hospital did.
Yeah, right. And I mean, this is in California, but like, there's no have you been vaccinated question.
Right.
So
right.
I feel like we don't, per usual, America doesn't know what the fuck we're doing, and running on the honor system in America is so terrifying.
Yeah. But again,
yeah, honor isn't our strong suit in this
you're
country.
Vaccinated, you're vaccinated. And
so go out and live your life.
Yeah. Go out and your life. Spit on everyone, every single person you encounter. Just start hawking loobies because that's how you show love.
In the CDC website, says like if you've been vaccinated and you've come in contact with someone who is literally positive for COVID-19, then you can still go and interact with unvaccinated people.
It just became a mantra for me this past month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very
vaccinated. It's okay you're vaccinated. It's okay you're vaccinated.
Lick everybody. Lick everybody.
Lick everybody. That's lick everybody. Yeah. According to new Kaiser poll suggests U.S. could reach 70% vaccination by this summer. So 70% of us go lick everybody else.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And I guess the rest of you go for it, too, because you weren't going to get vaccinated anyway.
Yeah, look,
there
look
are
whoever.
Some people still waiting to see how it affects people. There are a sizable amount of people, which I get it, who are nervous about COVID. Because I've interacted with a few at this point who are nervous about COVID and take it very seriously, are also nervous about a vaccine that has been rushed. And to take a beat.
I will say it's technically,
like
we talk about how it's like a rushed, like experimental thing.
And it isn't.
It's not really like rushed.
That's what
it's so much as a lot of the things that they do with a vaccine to like develop it is done in a linear fashion as opposed to doing all sort of at once.
Well, and the mRNA technology has been worked on and has been around for like 10 years, I believe.
Yes.
Kaveh, was it? Maybe he was the one that spoke with us about that. But
yes.
So, but to me, that's the kind of misinformation that's getting in the way of some stuff. So when I've encountered people, I say, like, I totally understand where you're coming from. That's a reasonable thing to be afraid of. But did you know that it actually hasn't happened as quickly as it seems? It felt like that. But in actuality, this is technology that's been around a long time, and they've been working on it. So
maybe, Operation Warp Speed, maybe not the best name for it.
Maybe not the best branding. But, I mean, look, I didn't want anything that was too rushed and not proven, but I feel confident in it now, of course.
Oh, well, I mean, I've taken way too many things literally called research chemicals because they're psychedelic drugs that were just tested on whoever wanted to get high to complain about an untested vaccine. Like, fuck it. I'll shoot anything into my veins. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Give me magic blood.
I once licked black tar off a guy's fingers at a bar in rural India. Like, I don't give a shit.
Just put it in my body. Let me be the guinea pig.
Like, I'll try whatever.
But anyway, I just mentioned that to say that, like, people who aren't getting vaccinated and aren't all just saying, no, I don't ever want to get vaccinated and I don't believe in the virus. There has been messaging problems. There has been miscommunication. There has been a lack of consensus this whole time.
Yeah.
Yes. So it makes sense that some people are hesitant, and shaming people isn't necessarily the right way to change that. But I think incentivizing. My brother got vaccinated because his company. I mean, he would have eventually, but he signed up quick because his company gave him $500.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Money.
Bribe people.
Hell yeah.
Who gives a shit?
There are definitely. Yeah. They're like. There are concerns out there. They're like, yeah, that's understandable. Even like the economic concerns, all these sort of things. There's also like maybe the microchip in your blood is a silly concern. And I think any sort of to your point, Katie, I think a lot of people with various concerns are all lumped in with Bill Gates is trying to track your blood.
Which he
is, but he's doing that in another way.
It's a
ways,
sex
right?
thing. It's not a control it's not, thing. Exactly, it's a sex exactly. thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just for his.
And again, with that, I've said that it's like, no, I don't believe that. But yeah, I guess our common ground is that I hate Bill Gates and he doesn't care about saving people. He cares about making money. So no, don't trust him, but not because he's going to put chips in your blood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's time for an ad break.
It's time
guys.
For a break.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back. And we're celebrating the fact that we're already at 50 minutes, which means our work for today is nearly done. What a hard job.
Coming back from a commercial break just to say that. But
well, we're doing it. We've done it.
We're doing it. Thank you, Cody. Thank you for finally adding an air horn to this podcast. The thing we really needed.
What we've been missing this whole time.
So there was a series of developments, RE climate change. That has been mainly celebrated by kind of liberals and in kind of center left media
fixed
as
it?
A we
it's
did
over.
It. It's over. Everything's the rains are coming back. No, it's been described like the CNBC article I'm looking at describes it as a crushing day for big oil. And it was a series of different defeats for oil companies. In terms of like one of them was it was fucking Exxon. There's a group of kind of activist investors which have a 0.02% stake in Exxon who organized like I guess a little insurgency within the company that unseated two board members.
Oh.
And this activist investment firm wants to force the company to speed up plans to pivot away from fossil fuels.
That's cool.
It's one of those things where I guess it's not a bad sign. It also is real hard to say whether or not it's going to matter at all.
But I like
because
that
the CEO was like, well, I welcome the new directors and I want to help them understand.
Yeah, I think that that's I like that.
I don't know that I think it can matter at all.
Not at that small a percentage, I think, ultimately.
I just don't know if it can possibly matter.
It might not, but I like the.
Yeah.
I like that tactic as
it
attempt.
Might also just end with the company being because the CEO, Darren Woods, was like, I welcome the new directors and I'm looking forward to helping them understand our plans and hear their insights and perspectives, which I take but, means they're just going to find new ways to make it seem like they're not killing the planet without actually changing any of
that's
their.
That's a strategic. Anything they're doing. Also, I look forward to helping them understand or however that phrasing was. It's like, oh, I look forward to educating them as to why we're not going to listen.
But they're trying to, this firm has talked a good game, and they talk particularly about decreasing emissions now, not in the future, which is, you know, kind of what everyone's been saying, is like, well, we're gonna get emissions down by 2050 or whatever. And these guys are like, well, it needs to be faster than that. So
nah,
I don't know.
It's not a...
It's not a bad sign that that happened at Exxon. I just don't know if it's actually going to matter.
Yeah.
The other big decision was a Dutch court ruled that Shell had to reduce its carbon emissions by 45% by 2030 from their 2019 levels. They had offered to reduce their emissions by 20% by 2030, so that's a significant increase. The court ruling also said that Shell's responsible for not just its own carbon emissions, but those of its suppliers. And this is probably the first time in history that a company has been legally obligated to like follow the Paris Agreement, basically, to put its policies in line with the Paris Agreement. Shell called the court decision disappointing, which is kind of heartening to me because I like it more when they're vocally unhappy with it.
Right.
And yeah, it's you know, it's kind of hard to say again whether or not this will matter. So there's been one guy, Tom Cummins, who's a dispute resolution partner at a law firm called Amherst, said that he thought this would have a broader impact on the oil and gas industry. He said, quote, this is arguably the most significant climate change related judgment yet, which emphasizes that companies and not just governments may be the target of strategic litigation, which seeks to drive changes in behavior. That said, other folks have been significantly more, black-pilled about this. There's one guy I thought was particularly, I kind of line up with this view, which is like, they're going to appeal this, and it's this high court ruling in a single European country isn't going to actually change how this massive international oil company does things. It has negligible chances to survive appeals. It's mostly symbolic and it's not going to do anything. I don't know. I'm certainly hopeful that, that it does something. But I don't know if it will, and no one really does yet, but yeah, we'll see.
Anecdotally, if this is a positive. I agree. None of this sounds like will ultimately move the needle. Big corporations at the end of the day care about their bottom line. But again, bringing it back to Flagstaff, guys.
I was going to wait, for this Flagstaff.
Again, talking to people. I was surprised at how universal talking to people with different backgrounds. Universally, it was an agreement that climate change is a problem. So, you know, that's outside
good.
Of
well,
legislation.
It's hard to not see that in Arizona.
It's hard to not see that. Yeah. It really isn't. Like, and a concern and people. So to me, I was like, that's something that's not polarizing right now. At least to this community that I was in. And I was a little heartened by that. Like, this is okay. We can agree. And there was a consensus of big corporations being a problem that is preventing us from making significant changes. So I don't know if that is at all a positive spin, but to me that made me feel good that at least there's some common ground there.
Yeah.
Not that that changes things as a situation currently, but perhaps as we move forward in our lifetimes, we will see
a necessary step.
It's a necessary step.
Yeah.
It requires.
And again, anecdotal. It's not like I'm speaking for the whole country. It's just.
People are slowly coming around to
that. I think there's some data to support that, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, the Republican Party has for, you know, so long denied it being a thing at all.
Yeah.
And now they're of the mind of like, well, it's real, and like maybe we won't do anything about it.
We just shouldn't take any action whatsoever.
There's things you can do for the economy. I mean, it's good to, doesn't matter. You would think that it could be in line with Republican talking points if they just change their fucking mind.
Yeah, this is kind of more of a mixed thing. So back in January, the Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments about a case where the city of Baltimore is basically suing a number of energy companies seeking monetary damages from them due to costs caused by a global climate change. And the question was whether or not this could be seen in federal court. And it was thankfully a narrow decision. Like they were looking for a narrow ruling. So they weren't deciding whether or not cities could sue oil and gas companies over the consequences of climate change, but they were deciding whether or not that should be seen in federal court or in state court. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the oil companies. It's kind of like a technical legal issue. Now, this has still not been kind of like completely litigated. And interestingly enough, Samuel Alito had to recuse himself. It was a 7-1, not 8-1, because he owns stock in two of the oil companies involved in the litigation.
Of course.
And you know, the nature of the case was that the city government wanted to be heard in state court because it was more amenable to them. The energy companies wanted to have it heard in federal court. And it was a question about like whether because the gas emissions cross state and international lines, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of these companies in this technical legal issue. Sorry, we're struggling to figure things out as this is going on. So that's not ideal. But I don't know.
Something.
It's just whatever is going to happen. This is going to keep getting like now they have to litigate in federal court, which is less amenable to the cities than a state court would be. But it doesn't mean that like ultimately they're not going to be able to get damages from these companies over climate change. And I think it's probably going to wind up mattering how bad. Like I think once we have some more horrific climate disasters, it will become more common to sue these companies. I kind of suspect eventually they're going to lose that case. That case, but eventually they're going to lose that kind of cultural battle, kind of like cigarette companies did. Now, cigarette companies are still doing fine. So I don't think it matters all that much, but I don't know.
Something to think about.
So apparently, I don't know. I've been kind of digging into different chunks of the climate fight because there's just so much going on right now. In Oregon, we have down in southern Oregon in the Klamath, which is a farming area. Since farmers have been getting water from these the state watershed, or from this river, like, diverted since 1906. But because there's a huge drought, you know, the whole West is in the worst drought in history. The state said, you're not getting water this year. And it's largely because the indigenous tribes in the region have specific rights that they've argued with the state to keep water levels at a certain level to keep this population of salmon that's important to them alive. And the farmers have been illegally siphoning water, and now they're getting in trouble. And so some group of them have bought some land that abuts abuts like where the water irrigation stuff starts, that they can like basically cut a fence to gain access and turn back on the water flow. And the Bundys are showing up and they're talking about like doing violence and picking up guns and fighting to be able to water their crops, until the water completely runs out, and then they're fucked anyway. And it's, you know, it's just kind of the first salvo in what are going to be a series of escalating water wars.
Yeah.
Kind of undoubtedly. And that shit's happening. Like, another big aspect of it, we're seeing this in Brazil right now, right? The most of the protests against Bolsonaro are over his kind of response to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But probably the worst thing he's done has been his commitment to increasing logging in the Amazon.
Yes, yes.
Because if you look at what he's promised to open up to logging, the amount of carbon released into the atmosphere from what Bolsonaro has promised to open up and is continuing to try to open up in the Amazon would exceed on an annual basis the amount of carbon generated by the United States and China put together. Like it's a massive increase in emissions because of how much carbon the Amazon basically like locks into the earth. It stops from going into the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's a huge thing that we don't pay enough attention to for a hot second when the fires were raging. But
and there's a number of fights going on all throughout South America. Latin America is going to be one of the major battlegrounds because there's in Chile and Brazil and I think Colombia as well, there are groups like indigenous militias that have been fighting loggers. And some of these loggers are technically legal. A lot of them are illegal because they're logging in indigenous lands but there's, you know, this has been, there have already been people killed and people fighting like with weaponry over whether or not they can log chunks of the Amazon. And that's going to increase too. Like we're just kind of at the early ramping up level of what I think is going to be a pretty significant amount of violence.
In our lives.
And again, there's already been fighting over water in a number of parts of the world. It's just going to get more common.
Yep.
And to an extent, I've spent less time, which is why I kind of fumbled on it, looking about like the legal challenges in the United States to these companies, because in some ways that's like trying to treat lung cancer by taking cough drops. Because it's like the actual problems and most of the impact of them is occurring overseas. Like the U.S. has only now started to really, when the fires hit bad and when some of the storms hit bad, that's when most people have started to notice there's a problem, as opposed to places overseas that have been, you know, because they have less resources, because they're less insulated from changes in climate, have been increasingly, like that's part a big part of why we're seeing such an increase in undocumented immigration.
Absolutely, people who farm in their homes anymore. When we talk about immigration, we fail to talk about consistently the myriad of different things that are fueling it, and how that if we really want to help people to survive, we have to address these fundamental needs, you know?
Yeah. And, and the fighting, I don't know. The longer I think about it, the more I am on the side that like I'm not against the court cases against these fossil fuel companies. I'm not against, you know, these activist investors trying to change things. I'm certainly not going to tell them not to do that. I'm not going to say that's pointless. But from where I'm standing, I think the most important parts of the fight are going to happen on the ground between human beings. And I just don't see any way around that at this point. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm planning to spend my summer looking into. So I mm-hmm. guess we'll see if my opinions on it change once I've
dug in
a little bit more. But I'm reading a real good book right now called Our Uninhabitable Earth. That is, you know, from a guy who's not at all a climate activist, who admits at the start that, like, if human beings weren't going to be affected so much, he wouldn't really care that much about natural habitats being damaged. Yeah. But a very not activist and not alarmist look at what's mm-hmm. going to be happening. And, of course, it's terrifying because the actual just basic, if you're – like it's
right. If you look at the information, the facts, it's not good. No matter, if you're looking at it reasonably.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I'm going to try and get the book in the hands of some of my family members who are you know have admitted. Well, yeah, of course it's happening, but I think it's you know there's not really agreement on how bad it's going to be and all this
right,
stuff.
Right.
That's, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good because he's not coming at it from a. Because he's coming at it from a look, I wouldn't care so much about this if it wasn't going to impact human society standpoint. Right. I think it might be a good book to
put in
hands
for
other
people.
I don't know. That's all I got for today.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a cast we've potted. You can't stop it.
You wouldn't
stop. Can't stop the pods.
Can't stop, won't stop till next
can't,
week.
Can't when cast the pods.
You should look for another drop.
For a
well, I guess you can stop it because once the episode's over, you can just hit stop and then it'll be over.
Yeah.
I mean, you, the listener, can stop it whenever you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you have the power.
You're right.
You have the power.
I don't recommend it, but you're right.
Yeah,
don't use the power.
Anything.
Don't use the power.
Don't, for the love of God, don't do it.
It's like that TikTok commercial.
Yeah.
TikTok, tic-tac. Can you breathe without a tic-tac? Of course.
Of course. Should you? No, of course not.
Don't fucking do it. When tic-tac's like, don't you fucking do it.
You know what can end this episode? Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb and it's gonna get dumber. Great. I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.